up, long players? Welcome to the Long Play Listening Party, the show where, as always, we're going deep on local music, making records, music gear, and whatever else sounds good to us. I'm Howie Howard from Mr. Furious Records. We have Nate Holt on the call. What's up, Nate?
What's up, everyone?
Royce Diamond, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How's everybody doing?
All right. And we have Sean Hunt, Approach, the Mighty Approach. We're talking about his new record, Merely Minutes in a Day, Section 2, Antique Mall. Welcome, Sean.
What's happening now? What's good? What's good?
Well, it's almost Christmas in Lawrence, Kansas, so that is all right. To start us off, I mean, tell us about Section 2. So this is a sequel or a continuation of something.
Yeah, I did a record in 2018 called Merely Minutes in a Day. I like the concept of, like, when I did that record, it was what could I accomplish in a day's amount of time. So we bought a home. My wife was 8 months pregnant when we moved into the home. I was painting my studio. I was working 10-hour shifts, and then I would come home at night to the house that we were moving into that we bought, paint, and record. And so I just was like, how many things can I get done in a day? And that spawned the concept. I made a record around that concept, and I was like, I'd like to continue it. I had a record that I made 5 years prior called Antique Mall, which is this, and it fit under the Merely Minutes in a Day concept because it was kind of the opposite. It was a continuation of a record I made called Make Out with Violence, and it had spanned, you know, 5 years. So it was like going from something that was like a pocket of time, which was like a week, to the next section of it being something that took a long period of time, kind of fit into the whole like life cycle, Merely Minutes in a Day, that kind of concept. So I'm always big on making pieces fit together, like making your catalog fit like your sequencing of your album, you know. So if something isn't lined up right, it can throw the whole thing out of sync. And this kind of fit in that. So I think I'll do one more part of this. And, you know, I wanted to have like a trilogy like some of my favorite artists have. But I feel like a lot of my favorite artists do trilogies, they drop the ball. And so my goal is to not drop the ball. And so here we are.
It sounds like you have multiple projects going on at once a lot. And you're prolific. I mean, you've got, I don't know, 20, 30 records out. Mm-hmm. Do you have a lot of things kind of going on at once and at different stages of completion?
I work in waves. Okay. So I have really productive years, and then I have years that aren't productive. But luckily for me, well, productive to my standard. So luckily for me, I'm able to have stuff like this where I've released three records while this record has been sitting here. So I kind of come up, I get these weird, like, here's these albums that I'm going to do, and then I just start recording them. And like I said, with the Make Out With Violence record, that was where me and Nate reconnected, and, you know, I was playing him some stuff, and he was really digging it, so we just made a bunch of music. And so I knew what that record was going to be, but we just kept recording. It's kind of like the Outkast philosophy where you never really stop recording. And I learned that early on because I would spend years on one thing. And then when that was done, I had nothing in the bank for any other thing. You know, like anything that anybody would ask, hey, can we put you on this comp or can we do that? I always had to like do it in the moment. And I don't like that kind of pressure because I like to I sit with things and they have to make sense. Like Nate will tell you, he plays on everything I do. And like sometimes he'll have played on something 3 years ago and hasn't heard it since he sent it to me. Doesn't know what's going to happen. But he has faith that I'm going to apply it when it's right. And so that's kind of like how I work. I'm very tuned to frequency, vibrations of like the earth and how things work. And so music, when the vibration feels right, that's when I release it. You know, if it sonically matches how it feels outside, that's when it's time. And then sometimes I'm like, I'm going to make a record in 2 weeks and release it in a month. That's kind of a newer thing. Like mostly I just continuously make music, the music part of it, and then I can fill in the voids where they need to be. So some years, like this year, I put out 10 instrumental albums. So it's like, and that's I just had instrumentals.
Tossing them out for like a few weeks there.
Yeah, I wanted to try to do an instrumental album a week for a while there, and then I got busy. Yeah, so.
Ah, here's the record.
Is Cairo's voice hitting you guys all at the same time?
Yeah, perfect. You having a good day? What's your name?
Oh, man.
My name's Cairo.
You are Cairo. What's your last name?
Yeah.
Daddy.
I am Daddy.
I learned to...
Yeah.
Okay. Just always have my voice memo handy, like it? And just let it roll.
Is it getting better?
And so now
I'm about
since he
to
came,
put out an album
like
of music that I made.
Every album is probably going to start with him. If I do an approach vocal record
5 years ago,
so we can see
so
his
now
growth.
You're two.
Like,
doesn't music sound good to you now?
Yeah.
Good. Would you listen to it?
Yeah, it's dope.
All right. So I don't need to stop making music yet.
Some, you know,
I won't
be here as long as he is, so I want to give him some sort of digital footprint.
I love you, man.
Physical footprint of like what he means to me and like,
say bye bye.
You know, my my life's work and like where he sits in that life's work as the most important part. You remember making this, Nate?
A lot of these I vaguely remember, yeah. And sometimes I'm like, is that me or not?
Yeah. It's you.
I mean, Reggie's on here. Is he on more than that one track?
He's on SBS 9. He mixed and mastered that. And he's on the Julius joint. And he mixed and mastered that. And then he's on, that's it. That's it. He's on those two.
Who mixed, They Come at Night?
Me.
You mixed that?
I mixed everything on the record except SBS 9. And he mixed and mastered it because it was supposed to be a song for a comp. And so I needed to get it done. And that was before I was mixing and mastering. And that was before this album had become something, so I hadn't even thought about giving it to you yet. You know, I hadn't created it yet. This was just like a one-off song, and so it had been mixed and mastered, I think, since 2013.
There's Ross, right?
Huh?
Ross's on here, right?
No, all this is Ryan Wartz.
Oh, Ryan.
All the guitar stuff. That was when I had. That's Herman playing the.
Yep.
You, me. I was surprised too with a lot of this because that was like
Herman,
Did Herman record his own parts?
Yeah, and then he sent them to me dry, and
nice.
So then I just, you know, verbed and delayed and made that
sounds good.
Trumpet sound like a sample. I was surprised at how much this is when. Your influence was so heavy because, remember, you were just coming in and I was recording you straight into the drum machine.
Oh, yeah.
On Make Up With Violence. And then this was when I started sending stuff to your setup.
Oh, this was done that long ago?
Yeah. This is right. We literally kept going. We used to hook up every Sunday and do that. And then we just kept going.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so I remember Royce told me, just a side note, he was like, man, this vocals were flown in off. I was like, well, it's how he sent them to me, and they sound great. I was like, well, shit, man, your off rhythm is tight. It sounds perfect. I was like, when I gave it to him to mix, I was like, don't you change where they're sitting, because it's perfect. But
let's hear a little bit of them. And then I want to hear about, I mean, you guys go way back, and so I want to hear some about the collaboration and about where you guys started and how you've collaborated over the years. But let's hear a little bit of All Here by Approach. Fall back, then I fell back, had to quiet my steps, not yet, with a jersey on the rafters, but I retired my flex, dusted off my Bible, and started scribing to the fire, so stretch, and still my last release in 30,000, but let's keep that quiet as kept, won't let the tires leak and leave the lead to idle steps. I will press on play to both sides, kiss the display of the wire fence. And trace the beat. Appears if I'm not crooning like Smooth or spitting like Rip, they make it even harder to prove the deuce of the shit. So anything I do, they refuse. So now I do this without the stress of doing for you, you see? It never was my job to try and bless y'all. Bread in the fire, give a fuck if I impress y'all. Lucifer's a dick and I detest all best in the world, so you're lucky I address y'all. Yeah. So here it is though, spit wicked with explicit mechanics. Lyrics hit like a cannon, visible damage is done. Coming through your district, stomping on misfits. Let's be realistic, ain't no benefits in this business. I spit it still though, what I feel though, come from the depths of the heart. Come correct when I check these marks, my heavenly God bless these bars. Lil' Rip beat a myth like a minotaur. Finally appears to y'all like from the Wizard of Oz. Such a man with the spirit of God that understands he was given an honor to rip a nigga apart. So Royce, before we started recording, Sean said you got him, what was it, into hip-hop or into rapping or like which piece? How did it start? You said 94?
Sean, I have to tell you that story.
True.
I just have to say that I like this, at first I thought it was weird, but this change into these parts of the song is... Dope, dude. I love it.
That, as you can tell by the notes that are playing, that's me.
That's me. No, it's notes. Perfect, man. It's in it. I like that announcement you put over that, too.
Well, the song was initially called, way back, it was called Winter Hours. And then you made your EP called Work Hours. So I was like, I can't have it be too close.
Sorry,
to that.
Bro.
It's all right, man. Yours came out first. Mine was done earlier, but I was sitting on it. So I switched the name. So basically the concept is like, Blackalicious has a song that's three different sections. And I always wanted to do something like that. So I wanted to make the first, like, all of all there to feel like the ride to work. This part is when you actually get in. When I worked at the music store, you get in, you get over the intercom, the express. So that, and then the last half of it is contemplating the day on the ride home. Sonically, it's not what the song is about, but sonically, that was the thread. 1994. I was in a class with a dude named Quincy Draper, and 93 actually, and Mike Nanowski, and then in 95 I met a dude named Ray Perkins, and Ray was just a force, man. He just looked like, he didn't look like anybody, he didn't talk like anybody. And I naturally gravitated to the guys that were just completely on their own vibe. I'm already naturally in my own head, kind of like off of my own kick. And so I was a huge hip-hop fan, but I never thought about rhyming. And Ray would talk about, as you peel back the layers, he would talk about DJing, he would talk about MCing, talk about making beats, but primarily he was hilarious to me. He was best friends with Royce. So Royce would always come up. And so I'm friends with Quincy Draper. I'm friends with Mike Nanowski. I know Myron King, another name, who is older than all of us, but I don't know how all these pieces fit together yet. So I meet Ray, hear a lot about Royce, all to find out that they were all a group called Skill Society. They were all MCs. So I started spending a lot of time at Quincy Draper's house. Quentin Draper, who was a year younger than us, also in my school. So we all hung out, my boy Ian Richardson, and then the collective just kind of grew. Royce has always kind of been like a grown-ass man, even when we were young kids. So Royce is a year older than me in school, but he was like maneuvering like a 20-some-odd-year-old. And here I'm like 16, 17. I mean, And so Royce had already kind of gravitated away from the like hanging out and just kind of doing the nonsense that children do. He was already like looking towards the future, which later on that played a big part for me because that's kind of how I was. I separated myself and moved forward. But that's how, so they would get together, buy instruments. Royce, I remember, bought a keyboard, and like it was like a $3,000 investment at the time when you're like, 18 year olds don't do
what
that.
What kind of keyboard was it?
You know what I mean? It was the Roland. What was it?
It was a Korg X3.
You still have it? That one.
Yeah.
Giant.
What?
The Korg X3.
Oh, X3.
Yeah.
But you got to think this is 96.
Yeah.
97.
Yeah.
So it's those kind of things. So we would get together, run like one little crappy keyboard with drum sounds into Quincy's mom's TV so you could hear it. Royce would come over with the keys. Quincy would play the guitar. And we just made a makeshift band and rap. And the thing about it is, no one was trained in any of this stuff. Like, cats just went out. Like, Royce wanted to make beats, so he went out and bought something to make beats on and just did it. You know what I mean? There wasn't like, we weren't in band. We weren't in like, we had no business technically buying any of this equipment. We were just doing it because it was what we wanted to do. Like, I didn't, and working with those guys, I didn't even know how samples were applied to hip-hop. I found that out later. I just thought everybody played everything. Like, this is what it sounds like, so we sit in the basement and make it up. So that's how I got into hip-hop, and that's where Royce comes into the story. And like, Royce was a huge influence because his mind was like, my Royce was, and he's very serious. You get, like, especially then, you get one or two times to kind of like get under his skin and he's done with it. Which was, I'm very moody, so I align myself kind of like, when I really want something, I don't have time for nonsense, you know what I mean? Which is why these guys are still, you know, friends and family to this day. They're very driven, and Nate's better than me at like sending stuff. If I send Nate something, it's back immediately. If he sends me something, he's probably still waiting on stuff. And I don't mean to be that way. I'm just like,
I said something to the effect the other day to you that sometimes, man, it's just, it gives me an excuse to get back, you know?
Absolutely, man.
It's like, it's, I don't know why. Sometimes it's hard to do it every day, but that's the only way you get better at it. And anytime you have an excuse to do it is a good time. And your shit is,
what's your setup
dope,
like right
so
now?
I'm always like, all right, let me do something.
Man, I'm trying to impress my brothers, man. I was very fortunate to be around a bunch of people that are their talent exceeds me. And so I'm always trying to inspire to, like, I mix a record, I ask Royce what he thinks. You know what I mean? I make a beat, I ask Salva and Jay Todd how they feel about it, you know? When I send you something and it comes back the way it does, that's how you and I communicate. Like, when I send you something and I see that within like 24 hours, I'm like, oh, I know I did right. And we don't even talk about it. You know what I mean? We just talk technically, like, does this sound good? Did this sound good? You know, with me, you're gonna get like a flame emoji or like, that's fucking awesome. And then
sometimes the stuff that I don't think is that good at all gets the most emojis come back to it.
Exactly. Because
all right,
it's not because the spirit got you, man. It came from the spirit, like this song.
This was one I was like, actually, I think it was. I was excited to send back because some of the stuff.
How did this one go?
Kind of by accident, but.
What did you send to Nate on this one?
It's really weird to decipher because like it's hard to. So I do the drums, bass, 808, the minimalist keys. I kind of always send Nate a thing that most people would be okay with. And it seems like, okay, this song is good. And then Nate, all the atmosphere in the back, the voices, like the and the keys, and then the weird glitches that are like.
Yeah.
And so it. One of these times I'll have to do one where I deconstruct the track and you see how it sounds and you'll be like, oh, that's a good beat. And then you see when Nate gets on it, it just becomes a full painting. Like, I feel like I give him a canvas that's decorated and then he adds the color.
Dude, I think that arpeggiator sound is off of the motif, man. If it's, we're going back all the way back to Make Out With Violence, the motif was definitely there. And it had some really badass arpeggiators or arpeggios, and I found a couple.
Yep. Nate's going to from there, grand piano. So everything moving in the atmosphere is Nate. And I'm like, sometimes, man, we've gotten so good at doing this, it's hard to know where the lines were, because sometimes we melt together so well. But it's easy with me. I only play things in like two keys, as Nate always put, one key, really. Every song I ever play is in one key.
That's not
somehow true. Somehow I figure out how to make it work.
Dude, so, I think there's like four.
This
three
is
or
Tyler
four,
on
man.
This.
That's enough.
Yeah. This is Tyler on the keys on this. I forgot about that.
Oh,
Tyler.
I missed that
did
guy.
This on. Yeah, man. He's in Omaha. Yeah.
Is he really? Now?
Yeah, he's in Omaha. Oh, his folks live in Omaha, so he came back with the pandemic going on. But this is the one song that I thought about cutting. I could never get it the way I wanted to. And then finally I just changed the sequence around and made it fit. And then when I put it out, one of Nikki's friends hit her up and was like, the song that I liked the most was Julius. It just sounds like the most traditional approach song. Like,
yeah, right.
Kind of funky. Fun fact that I just thought of, I made this beat for Royce. I made this beat for your record, and we were going to try to use it, and then remember it wouldn't loop up right on the, because it was good, it was just drums and bass, and then I brought it over, I made it on smooth little MPC 500, and like the drums and everything were slapping, and then for signal flow, and you put bass and stuff on it on the rolling, you probably still have that session, but we couldn't get everything to work right. And so I just sat on it, and then when I started working on this record, Tyler just played on it one day. We were supposed to go do something. He was like, I think I'm just going to stay and mess with this EPS 16 Plus. And I was like, play some keys over this thing. So he just stayed and played over it, and it came out cool. I think this is like one of only a few songs that Nate isn't on. There's a couple. Yeah, pretty much don't do anything without me.
Oh, I know from reading the liner notes.
Yeah. It's just, man, you know, like, it's like all my favorite producers and all my favorite musicians, especially on the production side, have their go-to cats. And like, I just, Nate is just like the side of my brain that I can't get to work. And he knows what it's supposed to do. It's like, we don't talk about any of this though. That's the best thing. I don't, sometimes I'll give him a key word, like I'll be like, Stevie Wonder. Or I'll be like, I mean, literally, I'm like, hey, every email starts with, can you do something to this? And then I go, Wooliter? Stevie Wonder? Like,
it used to be, I mean, every few would have like something like clav, organ.
Yeah.
Woolly.
Yeah.
One of those three.
Every
or,
single
you know, combination
bros.
Of.
It was always bros, clav, or woolly.
So, yeah. I don't forget about that. I always mm-hmm. have to put something, one of those on. Usually, one of them is on
so,
a track.
I have a question for you, bro.
Shoot.
Explain to me your setup. How are you working at the house? What's your production setup and how does your session look?
Well now it's completely different. With this album, here's another thing, Royce, this might well you know because you've seen it. All these songs, all the beats and stuff that I do is all two tracks. So I recorded everything straight from the MPC 2500 into the SP-404 and used the SP-404 like my DAW. So I used the effects, anything else. So I recorded two tracks into the SP-404 and then the SP you recorded into a pad. And then that pad you turn into a wave. And I dumped that wave out and rapped to it. And so that was what we were mixing. Quest is always like, how's your stuff slap like that on a two track? And I'm like, because these drum machines are made to make it sound how you want it to sound. So I use the MPC like people use computers now. I know what it does and I just go to the things that it naturally does. As you know, it has ability, that's especially with the ASR-10. There's like how it heats up and how the tubes and things in there work make things sound a certain way. And so to me, it's like if I have a classic Fender or a Gibson guitar, I don't need to go into a digital setting and try to replicate what's already right in my hands. All I gotta do is record that sound, and once I get it, leave it the fuck alone. You know what I mean? And so I don't spend a bunch of time. Now I do some more digital editing and stuff because I can and it's fun and I'm trying to push myself. But then with this record, MPC, straight to the SP-404, put little effects on there because I didn't have the, I did have effects on the 2500. Bounce down a wave, pull it right off the SIM card, take Nate's keys, put them on another track that he sends me, and we're good to go. So a lot of the individual other players are separated, but everything I did from bass, drums, keys, all that, it's all two track. So I didn't track them out at all. But now I'm a caveman, man. I MIDI up my keyboards. I have a 5000, a little fatty, ASR-10, Triton. I'm messing with my boy's SP-1200. MPC 2000 XL and 2500 over here, and I just I go from that, and half the time I still two track stuff out. If I separate stuff, I still do them one track at a time. I don't even use that. I don't even do like the 8 outs or anything. I sit there for the duration of the song one track at a time.
Inspiration
into Logic.
Into Logic.
I go straight from Logic.
Hey, so what were you asking about a lot? You thinking about getting live again?
Yeah,
I was going to wait till tonight to ask you about that because I want to know what prompted that question.
Merely Minutes in a Day, a lot of those joints were from the MPC Live.
Okay.
So this song right here, Call You, I did that on the 2500, and this is all me. I wanted this to be like, me and Nate always had a conversation about our songs having so much stuff going on. So I wanted to have a real stripped down kind of boom bap track. Here we are on this level. That's like a boom bap romance song. Like, you know what I mean? So I wanted to make it a real boom bap, like mellow, and then you know, talk about the beginning relationships. This is actually, I wrote this when I started dating my wife. It's like the second song. So, and then my friend Heidi came in and sang on it, made it sound like I know what I'm doing. Made it sound like I'm in here crooning, but really,
she came in or
my voice.
Did she record the vocals herself or did she come in?
She recorded it herself. The only people that came in were Joe Good came in.
What was that like?
Oh man. we get down, man. That's how we always. He lives around the corner, so if I put out the back signal, I think about every four records I'm gonna ask him for a verse. And he's a professional, man. I think we spent 45 minutes shooting the breeze, 2 minutes recording his verse. I don't even think he knows. Well, he knows. He probably knows us out, but he never asked to hear it. I don't remember, I had this weird delay. I couldn't get off the mic when he was recording that day. And he was like, oh, man, don't worry about it, bro. I'll just record through it. He pointed out, he was like, man, this is a little delay, but I can do it. So Stick Figure came through and did his verse. All Their track, man. Only Milk was the only one that recorded with me. Everybody else did it remote. You did yours from there. Deuce and Lou did their verse with Rich. Smooth did his at his house. Attila, he's the voiceover. And he did his over the phone. Asked him to leave me a message saying this. And he said it, and then I ran it through the SP and got that effect on it. Man, I Frankenstein everything, man. G-Train did his cuts at his house. Sent them to me. So,
man, that's crazy, isn't it, man? Just how everybody can just get down on their own, man.
Yeah, man.
Send you stuff, put it together.
Well, man, when I released All There, man, everybody was like, I don't remember doing this. G-Train said, who's doing the cuts? I'm like, that's you. He goes, so you put this whole song together with verses that people had laying around? And I'm like, no, man. Everybody rapped on it. I was like, you did the cuts on this beat. But it's been so long.
I took a screenshot of that text conversation.
Yeah.
He's just like, I don't remember that at all. And you're just like, everybody. This 5 years ago.
Everybody. I had to hunt Royce down. I was like, man, what do you think? Because I was like, man, maybe he hates it. He's going to be like, and Royce was just like, I got to listen to it in the studio. Yeah, just let me know. And then when he heard it, he was like, oh, thanks for including me, bro. I was like, come on, man. God damn. I ain't including you.
Yeah, like, we let it pass, but Royce has the first verse on this record, I'm pretty sure.
He's the first, aside from me and my son talking, he's the first verse you hear. And that's intentional. I wanted to start it with Royce because that crew that I came from, they're the reason why I do what I do. I was the last person in that crew, and I learned a lot from Royce, where like we probably at that period of time spent the least amount of time around each other, but his impression on me made the biggest impression, because he just went after what he wanted, and he was like, I'm not gonna let anybody hold me back from doing what I want to do. And I've always been like, as you can tell by the fact that I'm talking over this whole interview.
Yeah, I want to interrupt you though for a second. Like, what did you do the bass on this track?
Yeah. No, you did. You played it. You played the bass.
For real?
He's like, oh, I really like it.
Yeah. Yep. You played it. See, Nate, you're tight as hell, bro. I always tell you. You get worried about drum sounds and stuff. Like, fuck a drum sound, man. Get busy. I can't wait for this one, though.
Yeah, yeah. But we should listen to
it. Let's hear some of it, yeah.
Yeah. Put my theory hat on and figure out those chords, man. Those how you giving back now,
the questions asked and clap. Man, Reggie's
dude, that
he's a different kind of dude. That's why That's why he be wilding out, man. He's burdened by something different. It's beamed in to him. Spill it on the page so you can take home.
It drip from the dead end. Yeah, I gotta figure that out. I'm not gonna do it now, but I'm gonna figure it out.
I'll tell you what, man.
It'll annoy you watching him do it too. It's so quick.
Oh, if he made these records, it's like, bro. Probably in his vocabulary, like that kind of stuff, man. I gotta just study shit.
Man, I'm the same way, Nate. That's why we get along so well. I'm like the most blue collar hip hop dude. Like I'm a worker bee. Like I have to. If I don't do this on a regular basis, like, it will be all fucked up.
Right.
You know? I have to do it because I have to work really hard to be where people are naturally. Like, you know what I mean? I don't sit down at these things and, like, you know, they don't just come to me. Like, Royce used to be able to just buy gear and just work it. And he would read the manual. It's one of the only
Oh, he still
that
reads
know.
The manuals, man. He yeah, tells
oh, I
me
know.
That he reads the manuals.
He keeps all his manuals. It's like this dude reads the manual and it translates. I used to sit there, I was like, that made sense to you? What you just read? You read that and you were able to apply it?
I tell you what, bro, you made records like we always wanted to make them. Like, these are like grown folk records, you know what I'm saying? Like, this music, it feels good. I could be in any vibe, in any place, and be able to connect with it, you know what I mean?
Oh, man, I appreciate that, man. It's all that organized noise we listen to. It's all those things, like, it's like,
noise.
Yeah, it's like all that stuff that we listen to. It's like, I still rap, like, and even though they're my bros, I still rap to impress Souls of Mischief. You know what I mean? I still rap to impress you. I try to do a lot of things in the mix to impress you. With the beats and stuff, man, all this stuff, man, is what we dreamed about having.
But that's just
like,
shit.
Like, we wanted, we were willing to do anything to get this stuff. And now, like, you build a studio. You know what I mean? I got a studio in my house. Nate has a studio. Like, we have these things that we desire. Like, we didn't know how records were made in 1994. You know what I'm saying? Like, we understood, like, it was probably 99 before I figured out, like, how a sample could be applied. Well, 97. I was like, what? I was like, people aren't just playing this stuff? So.
Dude, I had like, I had a four track cassette recorder, right? In college. Because I know I did a couple of things on that. I don't have them anymore. But before that, I had a one of those MMT8s. Old ass sequencers.
Yep.
Because I had, when I was in high school, I played in band, so I had a like a Roland keyboard, but I used that sequencer and it was sequencing stuff. And I know I sold it in college for, and I didn't even know what I was doing. And if I had just continued down that road, man, I you know,
that's
but as it is,
works.
You know, like.
I mean,
years passed, and finally I decided, oh, that's what I should have been doing.
Yep, I had the four track, and then I bought a VS8 880 from Royce, which was like the first digital recorder in our crew. And then I produced my first album, and then I stopped producing albums for 10 years. I made beats, but I just was like, I got welcomed into a world of people that were really, really, really good. So I just went with that. And then when I came back from San Francisco to Lawrence, I immediately sought you out. And I was like, because you remember, even in the early 2000s, you were playing with me and Skew. And,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, and I was like, man, Nate might have the space for me now. You know what I'm saying? I might be where. And then I played you that stuff, and you were just like, whoa. And I was like, really, dude?
I couldn't believe you were asking me to, like, if I liked it, one, and if I would play on, like, I was like, I mean, it was kind of just, you know, one of those times where everything lines up, because I think exactly what I needed at the time was you know, some, because, you know, I was hanging out with like, you know, Jared and Dash and that whole crew, and I think at that point everybody had kind of moved away, and so I wasn't doing anything with music other than playing. I mean, I know that I played in a couple bands, I'm sure, locally, but like cover bands are mostly what I was up to. So when you called me up, it was like, let's do some music together. It was like, well, yeah, obviously, man, that's so, yeah, since then, man, that's,
it's the best musical marriage I've ever had, man. I mean,
oh, sure.
I have like, when it comes to actually creating music, it's like, and I'm affiliated, like Bryce, I can give him something and he knows what it means, you know what I mean? Because he knows the core, and it's like, me and Royce will go spells where we don't talk for 6-7 months, and then like when we do talk, it's exactly where it's supposed to be, because our trajectory as men is similar, not in that we do similar things, it's just like our growth and where we're going. I always know he's seeking the next thing and he's moving forward, and he always knows that with me. Like, we're not going to be, he's not going to look back and be like, dang, I gotta go save pro or pull him up, you know what I mean? It's never going to be a question. Now, we have brothers that will be a question. And with you, it's just, I never knew I could be in a situation where I could create music and not have to talk to the person about it. Just, they just do it. And like, that's a,
well,
that's,
I think,
unreal,
and like,
man,
you said, I don't know how long, you know, how long we did it for, but I mean, for a long time, we were, it seemed like, at least for, you know, within that space of a year or so, we were getting together on a regular basis and recording. So I think it just kind of happened because of that.
It is, man, because we went through it. We would frustrate the shit out of each other. Like, I remember Nate, and there ain't nothing like when you see Nate get frustrated, man. That's how you know you're somebody's real friend, because you can be around Nate for 10 years, you're like, this guy never has a bad day. I'm like, you don't know Nate. It's like, I'd be in there, and I'm, Royce can tell you how I'm like, I'm definitely not like, I'm not like a jerk or like a mean person. I'm just a person that like, I'll keep pushing, I'll keep like, keep digging. I'm like, we can do it. It's the same thing that I put on myself. So I would have Nate in there sometimes, but then I might not be able to tell you what I'm digging for. I just know when I hear it. So Nate would be going through sounds and sounds and sounds, and we'd be doing this shit for like an hour, and I'd be like, nah, we recorded, I was like, not that. And they would look at me and be like, man, what do you want, man? What do you want to hear? What are you looking for? I'm like, oh, and then
well,
They Come at Night gets created.
Man, you know, some of that has,
that's
to be
how we made They Come at Night.
Upset with myself for not being able to figure it out, you know. It's like,
yeah.
And sometimes that's what it's like when you use some new stuff. It's like, sometimes it'll just be what you get is completely different than what it started out as. Because I'd just be like, man, that sucks. That sucks.
Yep.
Man. And so I'll just do it until I feel like it's something. I'm like, he might tell me to change this, but I'm gonna send this because whatever. And then it's like,
it's right. This is the best song I've ever made, too, by the way.
That was a good one. We should have listened to some of that, too. We keep forgetting.
You can
that.
Just edit all this bubble out if you want. But like, SBS 9 is the best song that I've ever written and ever produced. Like, that was one that I was perfectly content with it being left alone. And then Reggie added those, like, kind of on the downswing, like, underneath what I was playing, so it's like,
it's
boom,
just
boom,
plot, huh? It's still just the
yeah.
Right.
He like played underneath it's what I was doing on the micro chord, but no gave it like atmospheric church chords.
I walked these roads a couple times.
I was like,
seen a few roots.
That works. I'll take it.
So this one's called Ride. It's got Conductor Williams and Miles. Miles Bonney.
Williams. Conductor Williams is blowing up as a producer these days, man. He's producing on major label albums.
I really like the one he did with Stick too. That was a good.
Yep.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
So let's hear a little bit of this, right? And Sean, what I'll do, I will replay SPS9 at the end of the show, the whole thing, so people can hear it. Because it's really hard to chop up because we're talking about stuff that's happening live, and I don't want to mess that up. But we'll put all of SPS9 at the end of the show so everybody can hear it.
Kicking the bucket, live fast, die young. Grace is the blessing, time is the measure. Faith the only thing that you left with. Gone and hate it, I use my sword and shield to protect me. Thankful, pro, cook the soul like Thanksgiving. The day before, I lend my words and let the beat translate it. No fear in the heart, how we live as kings. Do the work, talk is cheap, it all is free. Battle of the flesh, man, this is everyday living. Pray hard, guard your spirit, God will listen. Look him straight in the eye, mean the trust was given. Right from the heart, love, hemoglobin. Take a look around, don't be so square, dog. Time don't exist, keep your feelings linear.
So, Sean, I think we've heard maybe one of your verses so far. But there's a lot of collaborators on this record.
Yep.
Was that
most I've ever had?
Say more about that. Because it did jump
keys
out to
on
me.
This one. For...
Say it one more time.
I said, who played keys on this one?
Muted.
Dude, that's
me and you.
Okay, sorry. Dude, I don't mean to do that because I really don't remember that. And I'm just trying to figure out, like.
I'll have to just send you the chords, man. The reason why is. A lot of times with me, I use is the wrong word, but my friends to me are like the best musicians I've ever been around, and so the things that I can't do, I reach out to them to do. Like most of the hooks that you hear people singing, I write them. Miles wrote the hook on Soup because I didn't have anything great, but like I wrote that. I heard Miles' voice singing these words, because a lot of times I'll do them and then I'll be like, I don't like that, but Miles can do it great. I had a lot of hopes for our Dat Gang crew, and like we had a lot of things moving and we accomplished a lot, but what it took to make 9 people move as one slowed a lot of people's individual endeavors up, because it was a bunch of solo artists or groups collaborating. So the reason why everybody's on that song is I wanted to show people, like we had a song called Gun By My Side that was similar to that. I wanted to just show everybody like what we're capable of as a unit. And so I wanted to make one song that was like an album with my whole crew. Stick with it. It's not a Dat Gang guy, but everybody that you heard rhyming there at the beginning, minus Smooth, Attila, who did the voiceover stuff because he was done rapping at the time, and then Smooth's at the end of the track, who vocally, me, Royce, and Smooth were a group, and Smooth is like the easiest person it was ever for me to like rap along. It's like how Nate plays keys on stuff. He just compliments. He's the perfect counterbalance to what I do. As is Royce when we made the Sarah LeVeau stuff. Side note with this, that's Ryan Works playing the slide guitar. That's Lennon Bone playing the horns. That's me on keys, drums, bass, and Nate on keys. So, but... The whole point.
Listened to that song that Sarah LeVeau the other day.
Yeah, that was
like organically. I was like going through some stuff, and I was like, yep. Oh man, here's this whole record.
Yep. It's fun, isn't it? When you got to the same boy, you remember all those shows we were doing. I had y'all running across the globe with me. Like, yeah. Hey, you probably hadn't run that much musically, like, since you was out there going through all your engineering interns and internships and things like that.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I never was out on the road like that until you took me out there.
We was running, man. Because that was the only way. We didn't have social media like that at the time. It was just so new.
I had a MySpace, son. My MySpace was popping.
This song was originally called Goobaza, after Mark Goobaza. And then one of my dear friends, EMC, passed away. And so named it after him. And I'm always big, if you follow the records that I produce myself, I kind of always like the musical intro and then like the instrumental outro. And I just think it cleans your palate for like, it's just like you come in. I always want stuff like all there started out big. I want the record to start off like a smack in the face. And then I want the end of the record to be like the lullaby. Like, okay, here's the credits. Here's the wrap up. And then once your palate is clear, you figure out what you want to go to next. Like, do I want to play that record again? Or do I want to bounce through songs that grabbed me immediately? But I kind of like, and I've just always loved the theatrical, just like, especially on a hip-hop record. I think Mos Def just did it like the best with Black on Both Sides, like May December, that outro. And I think I just never got over that. Once I heard that, I was like, this is everything I love from Organized Noise, and this is what I love from Earth, Wind & Fire and all this stuff. And so I kind of always want to end records showing people that, like, yo, I program beats, but that I'm a musician by how I approach it. And like, the drum machine and stuff is alive. It's not just something that just, it's capable of just doing whatever you ask it to do. If you want it to just loop and stay in the same place, it will. If you want it to breathe, you have to make it breathe. You know what I mean? And so I always use those musical outros to show you that, like, hey man, I can make this feel like it's moving forward, you know? And so, yeah. Man, that's a lot, bro. I didn't know I would talk this much about my record.
I mean, that's one of the things we found, I think, as we started doing the show, is that, you know, artists have a lot to say. And, you know, the first one was me and Nate being the artist, kind of, you know, and talking to Royce. Yep. And that's one of the things that makes me want to keep doing it is every artist we talk to has so much to say about their work, and it's all great. Like, it's so unique, it's so different, it's so personal. These stories come out, where you came from, what your relationships were, you know, what gear you use and how you make, whether it's a guitar or a drum machine, how you make it breathe, like you're saying. It's fascinating to us, you know.
I think thought process is like what I chase the most. Like, that's what I use YouTube for. I use YouTube to just like, I live and die by watching people make music in the studio. It's like, I read autobiographies, like I study and consume why people work and watching them work. And that's how I learn everything. That's how I apply new tricks. And like, I love, like, that's the beauty of where podcasts have been heading. Like Broken Record, Rick Rubin's thing, where he just sits down and like, you know, and that's the thing that even like, I know a lot of people hate on Joe Rogan, but like, whatever. That's the beauty of like his podcast, is like people are so comfortable talking to him that they get into things and you actually see how people work, you know, because it's just a conversation. It's not necessarily like, here's the structure. And then you can stay inside the lines. You know, it's like when you understand like why a car drives and, you know, what it takes to put the engine together and like what the mechanics were thinking. And it's like, I love it from like, you know, I want to hear what the engineer was thinking, and I want to hear what the drummer was thinking, and I want to know why they used that drumstick and why he hit it that way and why they used that mic stand and why they mic'd it that way, because all that stuff just, I love the technique and the art, and I just love music so much, man. And I always want to, that's the only reason why, like, I don't make money from like putting out independent records. Like my friends who have put out records through my label, like we don't make any money, but we have like a calling card of like anybody can access what we do at any moment, and people put us on their playlists, and like, you know, we have at any second of the day, anybody can call up anything that we're doing instantly. And the gratification from that is like priceless, man. It's priceless that you can create something in your home. And like this, you know, this world of creating music, man, is where all the pain goes away. You know, I can put it all in there, and it's like, you know, this is therapy. This is, this is reps. This is like, this is where I'm myself to the fullest extent. I'm like, no one knows me as well as these drum machines do. And that's not anyone's fault. It's just how I'm wired. I'm wired to let it all go out there, because it's like, I don't need to let it all go in my wife's ear. And like, I need to be a completely open vessel for my son to grow the way he needs to. And I need to watch and not just in your relationships. It's like, so here's a chance to just like, this is where you exercise the demons, man. This is the dojo. You know what I mean? This is the sanctuary. And you let it all go. And then you have the ability to step in and edit it and present the best side of yourself. So long after I'm a forgotten memory, some kid will stumble upon this and be like, what the hell? No one, what the heck? Like, what was up with this dude? No one gave a damn about this dude. Like, that's the person I'm creating this for, because I have a house full of records where I'm like, no one cared about this. You know what I mean?
I know. Like, no doubt.
And that's the end game, man.
I just told Stacey, we were talking today, no, last night, and I was telling her, I was like, every Wednesday night we do date night. I was like, from now on our date nights, we're going to start just like going through our records and like cataloging them while we do it.
We're gonna listen to if it's
three records, if it's two records, whatever, but just like catalog all that stuff. So you have like a database of like, oh, I didn't realize I like these producers. I didn't realize I like these musicians. You know what I'm saying? Just like how you do all that kind of stuff with your Google Analytics, just do it with our music catalog together.
And Nate will tell you, man, I'm like, Royce will tell you, like, I'm one of those people, man. Howie, where I go out and I buy music. Like, I buy music. Like, I'm such a geek. Like, you know, they re-released Grand Poobah's first album. Like, I gotta go buy it again. I got this album on cassette, three times on CD, two different versions of vinyl, and this. But, like, these things, like, Diggable Planets, like, these things, like, if I can't physically hold them, it doesn't feel like they really exist. I need to read the liner notes. I need to smell the cellophane like ripping off. I need to feel putting it on the turntable and adjusting the bass and the highs and the lows to like the way I want them. I need that warmth. I need the physical connection of doing the thing that allows me to actually spend time with it. You know, I love the access of being able to grab my phone and find anything that I want and to click. I love that, and I utilize that access. But like, a lot of times, like, records can get lost unless they're like a tangible thing that I can hold, because it's just another thing that's like cataloged in space. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and for sure. I think a lot of musicians, I mean, I'm the same way. I think a lot of musicians are the same way, and that's, we're all aware of the downsides of streaming and stuff, but you know, one of the pluses is that we can have both now, and we can choose, and we can support our favorite artists, and we can also pull up whatever we want on Spotify in a second. And you know, as far as options for listening and the availability to just hear anything you want to hear right now,
bingo,
there's not a better time.
bingo, man. This is like the way we are able to digest and ingest music is like how we always wanted it when we were a kid. Like, I used to be frustrated that I had to wait 3 years between De La Soul albums. You know what I mean? I used to be like, it just was frustrating. I'm like, I remember when Mad Skills album came out and I heard a J Dilla beat for the first time. And then Pharcyde's album came out and J Dilla did, you know, 70% of the record. And I just wanted to consume Dilla's work. I wanted it. I needed it. And then like Slum Village's project, and it became this mythical thing that was like shelved. And it was almost frustrating to me that I couldn't find it. And now kids don't, you know, have that frustration because they'll find it. Like, if the internet wants it, they'll go get it. You can't just hide it from them. No, you can hear it. Or like, you know, when I find, you know, for me, like when I found Can or stuff like that, and it would have been amazing to just be able to go listen to their whole catalog at once. Mm-hmm. And I do that time and time again now with like artists that I find. I'm like, oh, this is dope. I don't have to spend the $60 that it cost me to get that record that was made 30 years ago. I can just listen to the whole thing and then go spend it on exactly what I want. And that's like the mental Rolodex of music that kids have now, man.
Do you ever find any of your own music online? Like, oh, just yeah, stuff like you'd ever released or something like that, just out there somewhere?
Verses and stuff. Yep.
Yeah.
Like, I'll find something that I collaborated with somebody on, like, especially when I like linked up with Coup d'Etat around the Ultra Proteus time for the re-release. Then they were pretty prominent at the time. They had released like J-Lod's record and Acrobatics. So they were kind of like in the underground hip hop, they were moving. So I started to get a lot of like requests because nobody really knew anything about me, but they were like, well, if he's over here, maybe there's something to it, so let's just get them on it now while it's like free. You know what I mean? Or why it's like, so I'll go to, stream through and I'll be like, oh, this producer's real dope. And then I'll look on their thing and I'll be like, I did a song with this dude. You know what I mean? I was like, man, I was missing the ball. I ran into one dude, came to Lawrence to play a show, a dude named DNA Beats. He came with a dude named Eli and he blew up big, like in like the production stuff. And I remember he was one of the first people that requested a joint with me. And I remember I did it, but it took a long time. And my partner Brent at the time was telling him like, yo, he's just not really feeling the beat. And dude was just kind of like, what's up with this dude? And we talked on the phone and we ironed it all out. And then when he came here, that was the first time we met face to face. And he was like, yeah, man, I was pissed at you for like playing around for so long. I was like, man, yeah, if you would have sent me this shit, I'd have been right on it. But you gave me them B level, them C grade beats. If you would have gave me that A stuff, it would have got done in 1 week. So I was pissed at you. But that's the beauty of all this, man. And you know, like all of us in here, man, it's just like, never lose the fire with this stuff, man. Like, you know, it becomes harder when it becomes your job, because I started getting more into like what you do, Royce, and bringing people in and recording and being, you know, just the sonic and interpreter of like someone else's vision. You know what I mean? Like, all I'm here to do is to make it sound the way they want it to do. But my creativity lives and dies there. I have no input elsewhere. And that makes this stuff really some work, because sometimes you're sitting there like, oh man, everything you're doing, you should stop. But then you also get to wear the other hat where you're like, okay, everything they're doing, how can I make this sound right to where it's the best it could possibly be?
Man, I would have never become the engineer that I am today if it wasn't for clients, because clients ask you to do stuff you would never do for yourself.
True.
And they push you in ways that you would never think about. You know what I mean?
True.
And that's not even just with doing music, but when I do audio for people outside of what I do here, I'm able to bring what we do into like a corporate environment, and I'm able to take away from what they do in that environment and bring that over to how we interact in the studio. And that for me has been the biggest blessing by having a recording space. Cause I'm just like, sometimes I'm like, you want to do what, when, and now you need it in 30 minutes. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, and well, then when you, but that's, you know, you get it
then
done.
Then when you do it,
yeah.
Like, oh, I can do anything.
I can do anything now.
That's basically the concept of Merely Minutes in a Day. I watch people like Mocha Only, who's on Stand Still, and like he can make full, incredible albums, self-produced, written, recorded, mixed, and he could do this stuff in a week, in days' time. And I'm like, I don't under, you know, I'm not quite wired that way, but it also helped me speed up the quality within the quantity, because I always work the opposite way, where it's like I want quality over quantity. And then now as I get older and life, I'm seeing life a different way. I'm like, man, when I have the available time,
I need to get more done.
Yeah. Why don't I, what is the reason if I'm watching Ninth Wonder and them on, regardless of what you think of this and that, but if they're making 6, 7, 8, 9 beats in a day, why can't I do that? And then I just go, okay, so I'm happy with my 3 instead of the 1 that I would do all week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now I'm like, now, you know, I get in these little pockets. That's how I create now. And so I'm like, and Nate will tell you, that's how I send music to him. So from like Monday to Wednesday, I might make 9 songs. I'll send Nate 9, and then that'll be something that can be applied somewhere. You know, and usually, I don't know if we ever have, like, especially when I record albums, I don't ever have, like, extra songs. Like I was talking about, I keep recording, it always ends up being that album. You know, I don't ever have, like, all right, I recorded 20 songs for the record, 9 made it. It's like I pretty much, I go into making records, like, it's going to be 13 songs. Here's what the song titles are. Now let me make the music that sound like the song titles. Now let me write the words to it, and now let me see which one of my friends are going to help make the song good.
And that's been your format, man, for decades.
Yep. Always, man. It just, I think it's a little OCD, so I'm like, it's why I write all my lyrics on my phone now, because I used to have to rip my legal pad pages up and up until it all looked the same, the right way I wanted it to look. I couldn't have it look messy. Or if I had to scribble a word out, then when I would read it back, it was like a roadblock. Wherever I went to the scribble word, I couldn't get past that. So I had to figure out a way to like compartmentalize things for me in order to be able to do it. And so organizing things and coming into it like a task allows me to free up when I'm actually creating the things within there. You know what I mean? Then I'm like, okay, then it's not so daunting. You know what I mean? Like some people can just sit down and be like, oh, I'll just do a whole bunch of stuff and then I can figure it out at the end. I don't, especially like limitations in what gear I had and how I had to do stuff. Like when I went over to other people's house, I had to have everything ready to go. I was like, okay, I only have 15 minutes to track this beat out. And then I only have 15 minutes to lay my verse out. And if I want to get a mix to leave with, I have a half an hour. And that's how my mind would work. So that started my whole 2-tracking thing. I was like, man, I can't pay you for 2 hours to sit there and track out every sound. Just 2-track it, let me rap to it, and let me hear it, you know? And then that allowed me, so I just came in organized. I was like, and in my mind, it just, and a lot of times I start records from top to bottom, you know? I rarely, like, do a song that's in the middle of the record early on. I just kind of start from the intro and work all the way to the end. And it just allows me, it's like seems efficient, it seems to make sense, and it just lines it all up. And so, and for me, in other words, now songs can change in a sequence sense, but usually how I write it down is how I knock it out. And then how it feels can be played around within the sequence, because the sequence is it's the most important part in any part. Of like, you throw 1 or 2 songs off, you lose the audience, you know, you lose them quick. You know, you got about 1 bad song for me. It's like if you're, but now if you start out and you got 3 or 4 blazers, man, woo, I'll give you two or three. I'll laugh, like, yeah.
That's when you got to play DJ, man.
Yeah. Well, you know me, man. I do that with every album because people are always like, oh, man, this album sucks. And I'm like, well, sequence it this way. Oh, that was great. Leave this song off, you know? But, like, I'm just big on, I'm big on now. I just really, like, I don't want to waste my time or, like, starting this interview. I don't want to waste anybody's time. So, you know, nowadays it's like if I get, like, 20 minutes to knock something out, I got to knock it out, you know, or get an idea going that I can get back to on the next 20 minutes. And so with records, it's kind of like that. Like, I've made a couple records this year that probably won't come out for maybe a year or two just because... I don't know. I don't like the number 2021. So I'm like, what I do in 2021 has to really be something, right? Because I like how 2022 sounds. It looks. I like even numbers way more than I like odd numbers, unless they... I'm weird, man. I'm just weird.
No, I feel you. So in the car... You know, the volume goes from like 0 to 80 or whatever. And I only will use the even numbered volume settings.
Yep. I'm the 1,000. You will never, ever, ever listen, get into my car and it's like 13 or 27.
Volume at 13.
Yep.
Can't I always got to check and make sure it's got a 12 or 14.
Yep.
But yeah.
I can't do it. So it's really like, it's stupid, man. Like, I was really ecstatic that we conceived my son in 2017 so that he could be born in 2018. I didn't want him to be born in, on a odd number. So it's like, I'm 78. You know, my wife is 84. Cairo's 2018. So I have a big thing about even numbers. That's why Antique Mall had to come out now. It felt like now, and I didn't want to drop it in 2021. I wanted to drop it in 2020. I liked how the numbers looked. I like the theory of vision.
It's got 13 tracks on it, though, bro.
That's intentional, though, because if you stack my music up chronologically, you end up with an even number. This guy spends way too much time thinking about stuff that does not matter. My poor wife, she deals with, like, there's just a lot. But I haven't gone insane. And a lot of my music friends go insane, you know? So the fact that we're all able to, like, work jobs and be normal in a sense.
Like, I was going to say, wait a minute, bro.
Yeah, man.
I'm definitely
it's a feat because... A lot of, like, from early on, like, we were talking, and I'm not going to name names, but Royce knows, like, one of the dudes that was, like, a mentor to me and Ryman went insane. And we were children. You know what I mean? And it was like, and so I've seen that in every increment to, like, now. Like, it's like a close collaborator is going insane right now. And I'm just like, you know, and it's all just insane and, like, not being able to deal with this reality does not mean, like, the things that they're dealing with isn't, that might be sanity. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not here to judge that. I'm just saying, like, how we vibrate now and how what we're forced to work with, his shit ain't lining up. And a lot of people who are genius level people, man, are burdened by that. I'm not a genius. I'm working real hard. I'm the guy still counting the steps on the skip it. One and two. It ain't just happening for me. So, and I'm all right with that, man. I like that. I like working hard for it, man. I like sitting here.
What are you doing? Where are you working now?
I work at KU.
KU.
University of Kansas.
Okay. What do you do up there?
I'm a supervisor, man. I'm a supervisor of the third shift custodial crew.
So, okay.
You know what I mean? I walk around with a bunch of keys and name tags and stuff.
Schneider, huh?
Mm-hmm. I'm the best supervisor you would ever want to work for.
Okay.
Because I know what I'm doing, but I'm people first.
So how long have you been doing that?
Since July.
Oh, this year.
Yep.
Okay.
Because I was, you know, doing shows, DJing, working at the bar, and then the world ended. In that world.
Were you like, you were somewhere else last year though, right?
Before I worked at Grandstand. I worked at Grandstand for a long time to bring when Cairo was born, but I always stayed working at the bar and doing all the other stuff.
What's Grandstand?
It's glassware printing company.
Okay, so that's what I thought. Glassware. Okay,
yeah, yep. I was there, and then like music and all that other stuff was, it just kind of moves in this cycle, so it was like it could sustain itself. So I gave myself to it, and then like. Then COVID was like, nah, bruh. about to take all this shit away real quick.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, for all of us. And so I just adapted like everybody else did. No worries. And like, now I'm very fortunate. You know, I'm taken care of. My family's taken care of. And, you know, I still am able to create.
That's what's so, up.
Yeah, man. It's just, it's all blessings, man. I wouldn't change a thing in how like music has gone for me. And you never know, man. You're one chord, one drum beat, one song written away from like everybody that's affiliated with you's life changing.
No doubt, right?
It's still gonna happen. I'm one, you know, I've done a lot of things in the last couple of years just on an engineering level that have like superseded, like, you know, I've mixed songs with Stickman from Dead Prez and mixed songs with Craig G and just like icons, you know what I mean? I'm like,
that's what's up, dang, bro.
Yeah, man. Done some, you know, man. I mean, you get to do these things that just string you along a little bit further, you know.
Stay insane.
Should daddy quit?
Skip it. Stringing along.
Yeah.
Surviving.
Man, that's the nature of the beast, man. And then this, man, I'm really honored that, you know, how are you in the, you're in the brotherhood with me. I know you're linked with these guys, but like you're in the family, man. It's like, I'm really, these guys know me. So there's nothing more boring than to talk to a dude you already know, but in this, it allowed me to be free and not reserved because I'm extremely comfortable with these gentlemen. Like, I'm the reason why these two even know each other.
Yeah.
I didn't even mention that, man. I don't even know what. I mean, I know what record that I worked with Royce on, but I don't know why. I don't know what. I mean, you recommended him.
And you, Sean, weren't interested, Nate. And even having me touch your record at all. You weren't interested in that at all. That was all Pro's idea for sure. And we sat in here maybe like an hour or two, and we were like, no, we need to make this record together. We need to do this. We need to get this record together.
Yep. It's always like, I mean, I've had another, that's probably like the best thing that I ever do, have ever done musically, is I'm a conduit to connect people. And so I always have these relationships where I work with someone and then I see someone else that's like, oh man, they can help them get where they want to go and just connect them. And it's like across the map, I just have a lot of, some connections I've made that people have gone on to do great things. And it's like, that's what this whole thing's about. And it's the same way. It's like meeting Royce led me down a path, and then Nate's helped me, you know, sonically be able to go wherever I need to go, and then allow, you know, being able to connect these two guys and creating. And then, you know, it's like, it's all that. It's like Dan Matic works with Royce. And
yeah. You connected me and Dan back in like 2010, something like that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
I and I'm going to tell you, man,
like Nate and Dan are really, probably the torch that I've been able to carry for a very long time. You know what I mean? Like, I just working with their music just inspires me, like in ways that I just hadn't been inspired in a very long time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like 2012 was probably the last time that I felt like I could creatively just do whatever. And I've had some artists that I work with, like starting in like 2017 and all that kind of stuff to kind of open the door. But, you know, like Dan would come down here and like, I'll be working on a record and he'll just be like, nah, bro, you need to get after it. Come on, man. Like, what are you doing? This is the one. This is the one. You know, like, wake up. We're doing this today. You know what I mean? Like, I really appreciate that for sure. That has helped. That has helped inspire me in times when I wasn't even sure that I wanted to continue to do this. So I appreciate you for that for sure.
Hey, man, that's what I'm here for, man. That's what I do all the time, man. I just look at all my talented friends and I'm like, let's go. You know, and everybody, and like, especially like, you know, we're in that over 40 set, man. And like, when we were growing up loving this particular genre of music, it wasn't even supposed to be here now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear
you. And now we're at the point where we are, you know, it's been a lifelong journey with this thing that was supposed to be in and out the door, and it's become a lifestyle. And like,
you can hear it in your music. You can hear it in your music. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, this album here feels to me the same way like when I was young and listening to Prince or something. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, that's what this record feels like to me. And you've incorporated hip hop in that, and I can only imagine, man. The first time I had somebody come into the studio and I was like engineering their record, and they were like, "Yeah, man, I remember you dropped so and so." That was like sophomore year in high school. It was the first time it dawned on me that we at least influenced the people in our community. You know what I mean? So no, absolutely. I'm very happy for all of my Datour connections and,
Man.
The time that I spent carrying the crest. You know what I mean? And what is Datour right now? What's happening with Datour? What can we expect from Datour?
Milk Drop album, a couple instrumentals from me, a Lou Rip album, a Jet Moran album.
Is this all 2021?
We'll see.
I hear you.
Milk, definitely.
Definitely. Obviously.
Instrumental project for me, definitely.
Where are you at on that Lou album?
That just, because Lou has to come in and record. Let me make sure. Okay, yeah. Because Lou has to come in and record, it just depends on, like, where we're at with COVID stuff. You know what I mean? That's why there's the only hesitation, because some people still have to come in and do their stuff. A lot of people, once COVID hit, like, just set up home studios and start knocking stuff out, which has been great. Then I have a few. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, he's got songs and stuff, but you just need to get them recorded.
We got a lot of songs.
Okay.
We got a lot.
Because he hasn't had an album since 2012, right?
No, he had one in 2017, 2018. Like, we dropped it on he had one that we dropped on like basically New Year's. So we dropped I'll send you a link. It's great. Stickman of Dead Prez is on there. You heard it, man.
I heard it, bro.
I produced it. I sent it to you.
Oh.
You was too busy losing my albums. That's why you didn't listen to it.
The Undefinable record.
Yeah. Okay. You ain't listened to that?
I don't think so, man.
I gotta re-release it, man. I can mix that album better. It's really good.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Just start talking about it again.
Yeah.
Because it's I'm sure it's classic.
It's Lou did his job.
I want to hear it. And it's 14 tracks?
Uh-huh. It's a couple interludes. I took we didn't have a ton of songs at the time, but we were able to produce an album. So 14 is decorative.
That's what's up, man.
Well, you know, if there's a you know, an underappreciated gem out there, that's something we should talk about on the show. Let's have Lou on and let's
absolutely.
Let's do it.
Let's have you and Lou on. Let's have both of you back to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
Lou's the best rapper I've ever met in my life. Yeah.
He's good, man.
He's phenomenal. He's gifted.
Man, Lewis Rib is like text buddies with Talib Kweli.
Now, yeah. All on the merit of his song. Like, he did a song and Kweli picked it. And then they met up later. They met in a couple of weird spots. Like, they met at the Granada. They ran into each other at the airport. Like,
we did a show at the Granada. It was the first time I remember.
And then he went out there and hung out with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He went upstairs and hung out with him. And, you know, then they just kind of, like, genuinely connected after that. But, yeah.
Because you can't be around Lou for 10 minutes and not fall in love with him. He's engaging, man. He's charismatic. He's, like, and he's free. He's not, like, there's nothing in life that has him locked up or, like, he's free spirit and he's just a lovable human being. Like, he just beams, like, positivity and, like, you know what I mean? He's just a good dude. It's why everybody, I mean, Rush, you produced the album with the dude, like you know how much time you spend in there laughing to get that record done, because that's and you can't, like, regardless of anything, you know, regardless of,
I would love to hear how Rip remembers that process going.
Was you being a general?
Man, I was focused. I was like, bro, we about to get it. Don't you understand?
Yeah. Well, that stuff, you know, that prepared him for what he was doing with me. And with me, I just, like, you know me, man. If you're ready to move, I'm ready to move. But if you take your time, I'm gonna keep moving.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And so
we did two records together. I think it was Joe Average and
Wyandotte County.
Wyandotte, yeah, because he's from Wyandotte too. Yeah,
yeah, Wyandotte County, man. Yeah, Lou's a pleasure to work with. His stuff doesn't get it needs to be tracked more by how quick he works when it comes to writing rhymes and, like, the ability to do it. He just knocks it out. But I mean, like the rest of us, I mean, he's a father of three, he's married, works a full-time job, and he lives the distance between, like, Royce and I. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's
a little bit closer to Royce. Yeah, it's just like, you know how that goes. And I mean, and he's clear about, like music is a hobby. Like, he loves it and he's great at it, but music is a hobby. And so, and he puts it in clear perspective for me too. I'm like, yeah, at this stage, it pretty much is a hobby. It's just something I love to do. But he's locked and loaded though. But he's the guy you get in and he can do, you know, five songs in a session if he wants, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah, he's got it. And, like, and when you guys were doing those records, man, he was going through a lot of life transitions because he hadn't gotten remarried yet, and, like,
yeah, we went through a lot of that together. You know what I mean? Like, I was a part of a lot of that. And so I was able to help it because at the time I was making money, so I was able to like,
bingo.
You know what I mean?
Bingo.
Help everybody with it, but yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
that was now a great time, man. That was like. Yeah. 2011, 2012, or something like that.
Yep.
Rip and I had done a bunch of shows together, and then I booked a show like June or something. I had a prime Friday night at the record bar, and he actually was going off to get married.
Yep.
But I didn't know it at the time, and I booked this date expecting it to be me and Lewis Rip, and I had like an hour and 5 minutes of just like me on stage, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, it worked out. I killed that shit for sure. Yeah, that was the first time I was like, man, I could be a fucking pop star. I could do this shit.
And there you have it, is why I've always been so tight with Royce, is because where me, oftentimes I'm second guessing myself. Royce ain't second guessing himself, man. If he's kind of like, once he puts it to tape, man, he's confident in what it is, man. And you need those people in your life. You know what I mean? We did a song on a mixtape I have called The New, a record that I have that came out in 2007. And we had a song called Jukebox that Royce produced, mixed. We did it in this cold. You were living in that house, but that room you recorded in was freezing.
It was a ghost in that house, son.
it was freezing. We were like in this garage type setup. It was the first time that I ever recorded with something. I had recorded with Royce time, but like it was the first time I ever recorded where he had centered the mic to where the monitors aren't picked up on the mic. So I'm recording without headphones. I'm recording listening through the monitors. I had never done nothing like that before. I was like, come again, like, you want me to do what? But his whole focus on that was like, he told me, he was like, you need a song with your name in the hook. Like, your approach, man, you're this, that. And he was like, we're going to make that. You need an anthem. Everybody needs to know when you walk in who you are. And I was like, man, and you know me, man, I'm like, it's hard for me to listen to my own records. Like, I really do enjoy, I enjoy Antique Mall because it's set for so long. And so now I'm in a wave of actually listening to it.
You're a fan.
Because I mixed it in like 3 days and I was done with it again. But it's a record that I got to actually enjoy. I didn't have to, the living with it was done so long ago.
Yep.
That I got to come back and I was like, it stands up. But I knew when I wasn't putting it out, I was like, I feel like this isn't for right now. But I didn't feel like it would get dated. And then like, now I get to really enjoy it. But the thing about Royce is like that confidence, man. He's like, that's one thing he brought and brings to the crew. Regardless if he's waving the flag all day or not, he don't get to shake me. He gets to be in Dator until I tell him he ain't in Dator.
I walked into the Granada,
bro. You don't just.
I walked into the Granada and everybody was screaming approach, and it was because we did that song together. You know what I mean?
It is the
like
truth.
They were screaming that shit, and that was, you were opening up for Blackalicious. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Murdering it,
and the whole it was like 900 fucking people there, and they were screaming approach before Blackalicious came out on stage. Man.
Yeah, yeah. And the Cool Kids show, too.
Yeah. I remember that.
It's that kind of confident. Like, I would never do anything. Like, I'm like, I don't want to be the light. I just kind of want to reflect it. I'm much more happy, like, if my friends get this shine, you know? I love when people appreciate the work, but it'll find me, you know? Like, when you... how he wrote me about doing this, and you were like, yeah, man, I bought your first EP and stuff. And I was like, oh, I'm talking to somebody that like has spent their hard earned money on the craft. Like, they appreciated it and it meant something to them. And like, that's priceless, man. That's what I'm like, here we are. That record I made in 2013 is 17 years later from when I made the record, and I get to, you know, it reverberated, you know, someone wants to talk to me about something I did when I was figuring out how to do it. And that stuff is always like, that's where the sweet is for me. That's where the, like, that's what why I write the songs that I write, is because I want to make those gems that someone stumbles upon later and they're like, what, how was this guy just there? You know what I mean? Like, Why didn't this happen for this dude? And I'm happy in that story, you know? I deal with that much better than I would have dealt with like huge popularity.
For sure. Well, I think we could go all night, but we got a plan for a follow up. And everybody go out and get some gems. Merrily Minutes in a Day, Section 2, Antique Mall. approach. Yeah. Sean, tell everybody, where can they find the record? Where can they buy it? Where can they stream it? Where can they find you on social media?
Every digital streaming platform, it is available. You can purchase it digitally anywhere. I prefer you, as an artist who likes to make money, to put it in into other merch and stuff. I prefer you to go to Bandcamp because they treat us the best. They give us the most upfront money, fair amount of money, and the most expedient amount of time. But when it comes to streaming or buying the record, I don't care where you get it. The beginning of January will be the Archaic CD and tapes. And then I'm hoping sometime in the next, 5 to 6 months, we can do vinyl, because that's really what I want to do. And I've never pressed one of my albums, a long player, on vinyl. So that's kind of the goal, I feel like, of the work that I've done. This is the one that deserves that treatment. It feels like it's just begging to be put on a turntable. So I am going to try to slow down my need to make more music and actually treat this one, give it the full love and care that it deserves. So please stream it anywhere, Tidal, Apple, whatever, we can go down the list. I am involved in a new streaming service called YouSound. And this is, I advise all recording artists and musicians to connect to that streaming service, because it seems like it's going to be our best friend. Like, you'll get paid what you deserve, which is super important. So go to usound.com, and it's just getting off the ground, but what I'm seeing so far is excellent.
Nice. Approach Merely Minutes in a Day, Section 2, Antique Mall. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
We're going out on SPS9. It's been the Long Play Listening Party.
SPS9. Approach. Keto Bray on the boogie. Let me borrow your ear. The stance of an elegant man, the plan is in to put in the cake. Like Cooper Gooden, for those states he could not push forth. Finding the silver lining beyond the pale horse, they failed the fourth course. I nail with no shorts, pressing it to the limits within the visions of Kemet. Until then, I'm in it, understanding the gimmicks. Anyway, you trim it or slim it, it's permitted. Presented to you with no bliss. Actors of action, dividing the fractions. Found in most rapping outside of that then. I'm looking around like, what happened? There's a few great minds here, but most get lost in the long-term years. How can they build careers with no OGs to lend a ear? Walk upon water, run across sand, ding the little light, master the plan. Push for the dream, hold for the blaze. Change like the season, broke like the days. Shade from the sun when the heat's too strong. Warmth of the mother when it's all gone wrong. Soul of the father to fight off the filth. Dreams of a king, one nation we built. Walk upon water, run across sand, gain a little light, master the plan. Push forth the dream, hold for the blaze. Change like the seasons, roll like the days. Shade from the sun when the heat's too strong. Warmth of the mother when it's all gone wrong. Soul of the father to fight off the filth. Dreams of a king, one nation we built.
As time rotates through the hands of man, we fight to find a purpose and a plan that stands. The mission is to be remembered as an important piece.
You want
to
be remembered as something major, right?
The peace found within is the most important to me.
Show me the money, I heard it in a song. The world looks funny, am I looking at her wrong? I hold on to truths and dues past due. I pass through what chose few and stay brand new. With bills paid, ask about the high grade. Him being the leader since him learned to meet us. A phone for senoritas, I talk through receivers. The background is hot sounds, moving the thoughts down and making sure they stick to the real. On the seed of creation, here's some knowledge that I give. Do it better than what you have seen. The DNA in your ways will be passed in your genes. Think about it for your proceed. Your seeds are the future that we all must breathe. Take a little second for the breeze. Take a little second, just breathe.